Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, brother.
It is truly a blessing to be here this evening. And indeed, we are truly encouraged by those who are visiting us tonight. We thank you for being here, and we hope and pray that if you have not yet done so, you'll be willing to share your contact information with us. At this time, we invite you to please open your Bibles to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 35. We'll be taking our lessons from verses 9 through 15. The book of Numbers, chapter 35, verses 9 through 15. The word of our God says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. They shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And of the cities which you give, you shall have six cities of refuge. You shall appoint three cities on the side of the Jordan, and three cities you shall appoint in the land of Canaan, which will be the cities of refuge. These six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there.'" Will please bow with me. Our precious and beloved God, our Creator and our Lord, we kneel and we bow before Thee, glorious Father, for truly Thou art worthy. Father, we come to Thee in a spirit of humility and meekness, in reverence and with obedience, but also with a heart full of thanksgiving and joy, thanking Thee, Father, for the life Thou hast given us, and for the opportunity that we have to be here tonight, to once again stand in Thy presence in awe, and to be able, Father, to learn from Thy feet, Father, in every one of these acts of worship. Father, as we now enter into this part of worship where we seek to learn from Thy sacred word, please be with us, Thy servant. Allow me, Father, to teach in accordance to Thy will, and that these words, Father, that I may share with those who are listening to me tonight may be words of encouragement, may be words, Father, of exhortation, and if need be, words of correction, so that we, Father, may always make straight our crooked paths, if that be the case. Father, be with this Thy servant. Allow me, Father, to apply in my own life, that I, Father, may be a refuge to all, that I, Father, may be a refuge to those, Father, who are in need of it, and that I may learn, Father, how this is a part of that relationship with my brethren in Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive me, Father, if I have not been that. Forgive me, Father, if instead of being a safe heaven, I've been a place of persecution. Forgive me, Lord, and grant me, Father, the meekness and the compassion, the empathy to be able, Father, to change and to improve always in Thy sight. We pray this not because we're worthy, but we do it in the precious and glorious name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our relationship in Christ is one of refuge. When we read this passage here in Numbers chapter 35, verses 9 through 15, now I invite you to read the entire chapter so that you can have a better grasp of the idea. It is amazing that our God always was showing us and demonstrating His compassion and His grace in the Old Testament. We have to understand the purpose of these cities and how they relate to us today. Because under the New Testament, we as the church are these cities of refuge. Pay attention to the fact that these cities were to be in the midst of the Levite priests. They were going to receive among the 12 tribes of Israel 42 cities for themselves, and then six cities of refuge additionally to the 42. 48 cities in total was what these people of the tribe of Levi were going to receive. And if you recall, it was the Levite priests who were given the responsibility not only to offer the sin offerings on behalf of Israel, but they too had to make judgment calls according to the law of Moses in cases and disputes between brethren. But in these cities of refuge, which were assigned to the Levite priest, we see that God was addressing a very specific situation, which till this time they had yet to understand how to deal with. Specifically, we see that they were to have these cities of refuge for someone who committed manslaughter, as it is known in our modern vernacular. Not someone who committed premeditated murder, but rather someone who was caught in a crime of passion. Someone who, as Scripture says, accidentally killed his neighbor. Someone who was not intentionally trying to do so, and perhaps was simply snared by the moment. Perhaps someone who was provoked, and someone who was brought to do so, but was now penitent. Brethren, what we learn from this is that we must understand how God was aware of our human nature. And when we think about the purpose of these cities, what we see, brethren, is how we can take this and apply it to us as a church. Because we must be reminded that we are all sinners. We must be reminded that sometimes, brethren, we are snared by our own passions. Sometimes, brethren, we unknowingly or unwillingly commit sin. And that sometimes we may offend in tongue or in deed, unknowingly. And thus it is when we as a church should serve as a city of refuge for those who are finding themselves ensnared or entangled by these crimes of passion, if you will. You see, the definition of the word refuge, brethren, there's three different definitions that I found from the same dictionary. The first one tells us it is a shelter or protection from danger or distress. The second definition is a place that provides shelter or protection. And the third and final one is something to which one has recourse in difficulty. These, brethren, were the descriptions of these cities that God was telling the Levites they were to be in charge of. Pay attention to the fact that there were three cities of refuge in the east, and there were three cities of refuge in the west. These cities were to be easily accessible for anyone who found themselves in this need. And their purpose was to be a protection, a safe haven for those who perhaps were found tangled in some mess that they did not premeditate, nor were they seeking to commit homicide. We have to clarify, brethren, and we have to be sure that we understand that these cities of refuge were not for the guilty. These cities of refuge did not mean that if manslaughter indeed was what happened, that they would be cleared for such a crime. For judgment needed to take place. And the judgment would take place in that city by the elders and by the Levite priests. They would hear the whole matter, and then they would determine if indeed there was a cause for the avenger to indeed pay retribution for what was taken from him in the form of life. But brethren, we must understand, judgment came from God. It did not come from the avenger's hands. But rather it was following the law that God had given the priests, the law that he had given Moses, that was the same law that they needed to rule by in these same cities of refuge. And thus today, brethren, we as the church are no different. We must be sure that when we are a refuge, that when we say that the church is a relationship in Christ, a relationship in refuge, we must understand then to whom this refuge is being extended. If you will please go with me to the book of Colossians, or the letter written to the Colossians, as we begin to understand the purpose and the reason for these cities and how they apply to us today. Observe once again that these cities were for those who did not intend to, who accidentally killed someone. Someone who was entangled, or someone who was caught in a moment of passion, who was ensnared by their sin, if you will. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. Observe how these six cities served as a deterrent to blood feuds originating. Beginning there at verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. The reason why God established these cities of refuge, brethren, was because at that time, before the law of Moses was given, the only thing that they knew was that if someone shed innocent blood, their blood must also be shed. A life for a life is what Genesis chapter 9 teaches us. But God here, through His law, made an explanation because of the fact that mankind was taking this too far. It was becoming more of a vengeful taste. A spirit of revenge was predominating, and blood feuds began amongst families. Take, for example, what Levi and his brother Simeon did with those of Shechem when they violated their sister Dinah. They went in and punished the entire people of Shechem. And therefore, these feuds between families, this bad blood amongst families for generations, were starting to originate. And notice that there in Numbers chapter 35, God specifies that the one who accidentally killed was to find haven or a safe haven from the avenger of the one whose life was lost. God deterred any blood feuds from originating through this. In other words, God did not allow for unmerciful vengeance to obscure rightful justice that was required. In other words, two wrongs do not make a right. And if the person who accidentally killed was indeed found innocent, was indeed determined, and it was discovered that he or she was indeed not premeditating, but entangled or ensnared in a moment of passion, then the avenger was commanded that he or she needed to let that go. Brethren, we as the church have already put on the new man. And we must understand that whatever we were and whatever we did in our past lives no longer applies to our present ones if we are living faithfully in Christ. It does not matter if in the past I did something that perhaps wronged you. You should see me now as your brother, as your penitent brother, understanding that I have repented of such an action. I must not hold on to what you have said or done against me years ago, if you did it to me when you were still yet a Christian. Because the blood of Christ has already washed those sins away. And therefore, you have been cleared by the righteousness of God in the blood of His righteous Lamb. And thus you are no longer a Greek nor a Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but you are nothing more than a Christian, and therefore you are my brother or my sister. Well, what happens when we do this after baptism? What happens when we wrong one another after baptism? Well, once again, the church should serve as a refuge. The church to serve as a refuge, because observe how in verse 12 we are told that as the elect of God, holy and beloved, we must put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. We, brethren, as the refuge, as our relationship to one another, is that we must be willing to first put on the spirit of forgiveness and not the spirit of avenging. We must first be willing to sit and to consult with one another and to walk through our problems seeking reconciliation and not with the intent of pointing the finger and accusing one another. That only leads to destruction. If we are not able to discuss matters between each other, then there should be spiritual Christians among us who can serve as those Levite priests of old to impart righteous judgment between me and my adversary. But once more, the justice is not according to His will. It's not according to His preference. But it is always following the rule of Christ who has left His law. But notice the rule that Christ has left there in verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you. Even as Christ forgave you. There's the refuge. There's our relationship. Because if anyone had a bone to pick with us, if anyone had righteous cause for having bad blood with us, it is God the Father, because we murdered His Son. And yet, Christ forgave me. And therefore I am commanded, so you also must do. Yes, this does not mean that we have to clear the guilty. And yes, this does not mean that we must not leave the situation unattended. What this means, brethren, is that our intent in trying to resolve the problems between I and my brother who has offended me is not to destroy him. It's not because I'm seeking my pound of flesh, but rather because I want to pull him from being consumed in too much sorrow. I want to pull him from the threat of being eternally lost. Because this is the Spirit of Christ who forgave us even before we uttered the words, "I'm sorry." Have you ever wondered, brethren, when He was on the cross, when did those Roman soldiers apologize to Him while they were nailing Him to it? While they mocked Him, while they humiliated Him, while they stripped Him of His dignity, when did they think about saying, "We're sorry, but it is our responsibility as soldiers of Rome. It's not personal, we're simply following orders." No, they enjoyed it a little too much. Not once did they say, "I am sorry." But Jesus did say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There's that city of refuge, you see. There's that city of refuge. Brethren, we as a church, our relationship in Christ has to be one that seeks to deter a blood feud amongst us. Because these bitter rivalries between Christians does nothing but cause schisms in the body of the Lord. We have to be a refuge. We have to be a place that provides shelter and protection to the sinner. Specifically, the penitent sinner. We have to be a place where if one of us stumbles and falls, we feel that safety that we can come to one another and say, "Brother, I have sinned against you and against heaven." We should not be afraid to confess our trespasses to one another. We should not be afraid to ask for prayers because we have sinned against the God of heaven and earth. We should not be afraid to come forward. Because this is the safest place where I can be vulnerable. Because we are a city of refuge. We are to deter from blood feuds to happen, to originate. Thus we see, brethren, that one purpose of these six cities was to deter from blood feuds originating, but as we just said, it is supposed to be a safe haven for the penitent sinner. Go with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, beginning there at verse 9. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Brethren, we as a city of refuge, the church, our relationship with one another is one where we should be a safe haven for the penitent sinner. In other words, brethren, let us see the example that we should not emulate here. We should not be like the Pharisees, that when a sinner comes through our doors, we are immediately questioning why they are here, what their true intentions are, instead of focusing, they are sitting at the table with the Master, and they are in need of a physician because they are sick from sin. We, brethren, must sometimes forget when our brother who was in sin, who fell away, returns to us. We must be like the father of the lost son, and we must run to him if he is displaying a penitent spirit. Brethren, we must beware that we are not critical, that we are not murmuring, that we are not gossiping because we feel uncomfortable with their presence, because our relationship in Christ is one of refuge. Sinners who want to sin no more, sinners who want to turn away from their sin and want to restore their relationship with Christ should feel safe here amongst us to be able to do it. They should be able to come to us trusting that here they will find the encouragement and the restoration they so desperately seek. But how tragic and how sad that many times, instead of imitating the example of the Master, who understood that God desired mercy and not sacrifice, we imitate more the example of the Pharisees, where we are standoffish, where our attitude toward our sinning brother is one of pushing him off and not allowing an ample opportunity, or given even the benefit of the doubt that perhaps they have made a decision to come back to Christ. You know what the results, brother, of doing that are? We push them further into the abyss of sin, instead of pulling them into the light of Christ. We, brethren, are a city of refuge. The church should be a safe haven for the penitent sinner, where that sinner knows that although his actions will have and will merit righteous consequences, there will still be compassion, mercy, and a spirit of meekness seeking to restore those who were caught in sin. Galatians 6:1. Our brethren who have fallen into sin, they are sick, brethren. We do not hold against the patient their infirmity, That would make us cruel and vicious. If we blame the patient for being sick, if we were to blame that person for changing our lives, if we were to accuse them for taking us out of our uncomfort level, because how dare you get sick? How dare you get cancer? How dare you get sick with a disease that you had no control over and ruining my life? How cruel and how vicious does that make me sound? And yet that's what we do with an erring brother when we are not willing to look beyond their error, when we are not willing to receive them with loving arms to heal their wounds. We are no different from the Levite or the priest of the parable of the Good Samaritan, because we look at them and we blame them for falling into the hands of the thieves who hurt them. Our relationship in Christ, brethren, is one of refuge. One where we should be able to offer something where someone has recourse to difficulty. And what we have to offer is guidance. What we have to offer is compassion, strength, and restoration. Brethren, we must be sure that as Christians and as the church, we are that for one another. That once more, if we ourselves find ourselves ensnared by sin, that we feel that safety and that reassurance that I can go to my church family and tell them, I have committed sin and I need your prayers on my behalf. I need your help and I need your guidance because I do not know what to do. But isn't it tragic and isn't it sad when many times the last place we want to go to is the congregation where we belong? When the last people we want to tell about our error and our sin are our very family members. Because we are ashamed, we are embarrassed, but most of all, we are afraid. We are afraid of the repercussions. We are afraid of the ostracizing. And we are afraid of how easily we're going to be cut off. That is not a city of refuge, brethren. Finally, we see, brethren, that another purpose of these six cities is that they serve as a reminder of the easy access of God's grace. Now pay attention to the fact that these six cities were placed in a position where they could be easily accessed from anywhere among the 12 tribes. That they can get there speedily before the avenger would want to take their lives in revenge for the blood that they had shed. They were easily accessible and they were open not only to the Israelites, but that you pay attention that they were open to the Israelites, to the stranger, and to the sojourners. God's grace was accessible very quickly and very easily, but it was also accessible for anyone and everyone who needed it. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 18. This, brethren, shows us once more the beauty of our God and His long-suffering. And observe what verse 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." We, brethren, should be able to run to the name of our Lord. Today we are a representation of our God. We are the body of Christ, and Christ is God, brethren. Therefore, people should be able to run to us, whether they are members of the body or whether they are yet to be members of the body. But anyone and everyone who seeks refuge in God should be able to find it amongst us. Because the righteous is Scripture. Run to it and our safe. The non-Christian should feel safe amongst us. The fallen away Christian should feel safe amongst us. The faithful Christian should feel safe amongst us. As long as everything is being done in God's righteousness. We should be able to correct the apostate Christian. in a manner where they are motivated, encouraged to want to repent. As 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, not holding them as an enemy. We should be able to correct one another. We should be able how to speak truth in love. We, brethren, should find that safety that God promises is in Him to those who are righteous and run to Him. If you will, go with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Observe how we, brethren, as a city of refuge, how the church as a city of refuge serves as a reminder of the easy access of God's grace in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that you should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Now remember, who was allowed to go into these cities of refuge? Those who were not guilty of breaking the law premeditatedly. It was those who were ensnared and were caught in accidentally killing their neighbor. But someone who was a murderer, someone who was like Cain, who purposely killed, they were not allowed into the city of refuge, and they were not to be granted access to that. The difference being one wanted to continue murdering versus the other who was truly sorry for his actions, for losing control in a moment of wrath. Many times the question is, well, what is the sin of death? Well, in light of what the city of refuge is, brethren, the answer is very clear. It is those sins which we habitually practice and are not penitent of. It's those that we continuously do and do not make an effort to change or to work on. Those that have now seared our conscience, and no longer are we bothered by doing them because we have been desensitized and it has been normal in our living. Those sins that we can pray for are those that are not leading to death. It means those that we are working on daily. Those that we know that we are sorry and therefore we are doing everything necessary within our power to change. But we have to understand that bad habits are difficult to change. And this is why we as a church have to be a city of refuge. Because we have to be understanding of this. And this is why verse 14 and verse 15, we are first told that we have access to the merciful Father through prayer. We have to pray for one another. And we have to assist each other through these struggles, while we fight daily the sins that are latched on as parasites to our flesh. Brethren, we're going to stumble. If we are trying to change those sins that we've combated with our whole lives, we're going to struggle. It is not going to happen overnight. Some of us are still battling sins that we've been battling for more than 20 or 30 years. And although we have gotten stronger and we have improved, we have yet to fully conquer those sins. You know, they say that an addict is never fully cured. That the addict has to fight for his sobriety every single day. That every day his battle is a new one. And it does not matter if the day before he was successful in remaining sober, it starts all over the following day. Brethren, Romans chapter 6 teaches us that we were slaves of sin. That's what addiction is. And therefore, every day, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, every day I die. Every day Paul went to war with his old man. And every day war, Paul had to put his old man to death. But it is a daily struggle that you and I go through. And hence why you and I are or should be a city of refuge for one another. Because we understand each other. Although our sins may not be the same, the addiction to them is. And the solution Christ offered was also the same. His cleansing blood, and this city of refuge we know as the church. Because God reminds us that He is easily accessible through His saints. This morning in our Bible study, I asked the question, if I ask you to pray for me and do not reveal what I'm struggling for, how will you know what to ask for? Notice here scripture backing those words up. The Bible says that we are to pray if anyone sees his brother sinning, a sin which is not of death, leading to death. But observe the reaction that we should have when we see our brother sinning in a sin that does not lead to death. Does not destroy him. Does not say tear him down. No, it says, pray. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. It is not to divulge, and it is not to tear down. Brethren, we are a refuge, because we, as a city of refuge, serve as a reminder of God's easy access to His grace. We should pray for one another, but we should also help each other carry the burden of the cross. Jesus accepted Simon's help in carrying his cross. Do we believe that we are stronger than Jesus by not asking or accepting the help of a fellow Simon amongst us? We, brethren, as a church, must understand that our relationship in Christ is one of refuge. One of refuge to deter the blood feuds. One of refuge for receiving the penitent sinner. And one of refuge as a reminder that God's grace is ready to be accessed. Now, my friend, this is why we implore you week after week, day after day, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Here you are now in a city of refuge. And although you are being found guilty of your sins, God is giving you a plea bargain. He is allowing you the opportunity to take this deal where you can put to death the old man in the waters of baptism, and you can rise to a newness of life where you will stop being a slave of sin and you can start being a bondservant of righteousness. Romans chapter 6 verses 21 through 23. What will you choose tonight? We here, as the priest of our God, Revelation 1:5, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and verse 9. We have been assigned this task to be that city of refuge and to help you, because we know that like we were once, you are now entangled in your passions, in your lust, in your sin. But just as we were rescued by the blood of Christ, tonight you too can receive that acquittal. But do not make a mistake. You are not being cleared. Your plea that you are receiving is not an innocent. It is a not guilty anymore. You were acquitted because Christ has already died in your place. But He is ready. As we've already stated, He has already forgiven you even before you uttered the words, "I'm sorry." So this evening, do you want to be a part of the city of refuge? Do you want to be embraced by the Almighty God? Once more, Proverbs 18:10 tells you that the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and are saved. Tonight, you can run to that strong tower, and tonight, you can be made saved. You can be made saved in the safety of God and His city of refuge, that is the church. If you are ready to enter into the city so that you can find safety from your sins, we invite you to come forward as we stand and we sing.